We are working on a three-week series. This is week two of our three-week series on this new vision that we have for Pathway, this new vision statement that we have. And with every series that we're doing here at Pathway, I'm going to have a verse that we're memorizing as a church that will help us kind of ingrain in your brain what we're talking about here in this series. So our verse that we're supposed to be memorizing as a church is up behind me right now. It's Romans 8, 9a. Let's all read it together, shall we? It says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." Have you guys been working on that? Raise your hands if you've been working on it this week, trying to get it down in your brain. Sandy, all right. And Richard, yay. All right, yeah. So let's do this, because we want you guys to get this ingrained in your brain. Go to that next slide. Let's try it again, shall we? Let's try it. Romans 8, 9a. "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." All right? Very good. Keep working on it. Get those little papers I gave you last week. Take those home and put them somewhere where you can see them. There's more at the resource table that I dropped off this morning. Pick one of those up. Take it home with you. Start memorizing that verse. We'll review it again next Sunday. We want to get these things ingrained in your brain. Get God's Word in your brain so that you can pull it out whenever you need it. You don't have to try to hunt through your Bible and find the verse. You already know it because it's in your brain. All right? Very good. Now, we have a new vision statement that we're doing this three-week series on. Put that up there. It says, "We exist to glorify God by being a Spirit-filled people, empowered by Him to accomplish His perfect will in an imperfect world." And this is the vision that God has given me for what Pathway needs to be at this time. We need to be glorifying God. We need to be a Spirit-filled people. We need to be accomplishing His will in the world around us. And so I'm spending the next couple of weeks talking to you about that. Last week I talked about how we exist to glorify God. And it talked about how we glorify God by seeking Him, by praising Him, and by depending on Him in our daily lives. And today I want to talk to you about how we need to be a Spirit-filled people. And I'm a little nervous about this message because I have a feeling I'm going to make some people a little bit angry today, depending on your theology on being, you know, being Spirit-filled, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, that kind of thing. So bear with me, and let me tell you what I see in Scripture, and we'll take it from there, okay? So first of all, because we're going to be a Spirit-filled people, I have a new logo that we're going to be using at the church. Put that up there. This is our new church logo for Pathway of Hope, being a Spirit-filled church. You're going to start seeing this on all of our documentation now. You see it on the offering envelopes this morning. And the dove, of course, represents the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove onto Jesus. And so this is our new logo, Pathway of Hope, a Spirit-filled church. Now, I grew up, if you remember from the story of myself that I told you a few weeks ago, I grew up in a very conservative church, you know, and we didn't buy into any of this stuff, you know. We just, you know, we lived the Holy Spirit, and when you were saved, the Holy Spirit was inside of you, and, you know, that was the extent of it. That was it, you know. So it took me a while to really wrap my brain around what this is all about, you know, because I'm a very logical person, and I have to work things through, point by point, piece by piece. I have to figure things out. I have to work it through in my brain before I'm willing to accept it, you know. And so it took me a while. Once I met Jackie and came to a four-square church under Pastor Johnny, it took me, you know, my first prayer meeting there was, woo, a little bit freaky, you know. But, you know, once I fully understood what it was about, and once I accepted what it means to really be Spirit-filled, that's when I reached a deeper level of intimacy with God than I ever thought was possible. So, first thing I want you to understand is that if, we're going to start with the basics here, if you are a Christian, You have the Holy Spirit inside you. Okay? That's it. He's in you. He's not going anywhere. You know, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you from the point that you are saved. You have the Holy Spirit. He's not going anywhere. Okay? And what we see is a little bit of a shift between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we see the Spirit of God settling on people and then leaving and then settling on somebody else and leaving. And we see that, for instance, with Saul, who was the first king of Israel. We see that when Saul was first crowned king, the Spirit of God came and rested on Saul, and God's favor was on him, and he was blessed and everything. Then Saul started to kind of go his own direction. And, you know, in 1 Samuel 16, we see that he was impatient with God. He didn't wait for Samuel the prophet to get there to offer a sacrifice to God. He went and offered it himself because he thought he was good enough to do that. And so when Saul started to live in sin, the Spirit of God lifted from Saul and went to David, who was the next king of Israel. And so Saul, we see the Spirit of God coming on Saul, leaving Saul, and then coming on Saul and leaving Saul. And so that's the way the Spirit of God worked in the Old Testament. Okay? In the New Testament, after Jesus died and paid the price for our sins and paid that penalty for us, we then appear as pure and holy before God because we've been purified by Christ's blood. So when that happened, the Holy Spirit then is able to come and enter us and see us as a pure vessel, and he's not going anywhere. He is in our hearts forever. He's in our soul. So when you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. He's not going anywhere. And the Holy Spirit on our lives, he acts as, he convicts us of sin. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our guide. He reveals truth to us, both from Scripture and from the world around us. He gives gifts, gives us our spiritual gifts that we have when we're saved. He produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. You know, Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the Holy Spirit working inside us, transforming us to be more like Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ. And the Holy Spirit inside us is helping us in that process. It's developing us to be more and more like Christ. And if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. But there's more. There is more. And this is what took me a while to figure out and to wrap my brain around. But you can be filled to overflowing. You can be filled with the Spirit until it's just overflowing out of you. Because you could have the Holy Spirit inside you when you're saved, but you can be completely filled up with the Holy Spirit so much that it's just flowing out of you to the world around you, the people around you, your environment. The Holy Spirit's just cascading out of you like a waterfall, a spiritual waterfall. And it's an amazing experience. There's some evidences of being filled with the Spirit. Some of them are speaking, praying in tongues. And this is a common misconception, and this is what might tick some people off here. There's a lot of Pentecostal Christians who believe that the mandatory evidence of being filled with the Spirit is speaking in tongues. I don't believe that. I think it's one of the evidences, it's one of the common ones, but it's not mandatory to prove that you're filled with the Spirit. And there's a difference between speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. I could preach a whole sermon on that. But the short story is that speaking in tongues is for the edification of the church body. Speaking in tongues is when you're in a church setting and someone is given a message from God in a tongue that they don't understand. Could be a human tongue that they've never learned, like if I started speaking French right now, that would be speaking in tongues. Or it could be a non-human language, could be language of the angels, a spiritual language. And the only time that speaking in tongues in a church setting is valid is when there is someone with the gift of interpretation that is there to interpret what is said. Somebody with the gift of interpretation. These are spiritual gifts that I just talked about, the Holy Spirit gives you. This, speaking in tongues is one of the spiritual gifts, just like service, leadership, preaching, teaching. Speaking in tongues is one of those gifts. And so is the gift of interpretation. So when God gives someone a word in tongues to speak to the church body, there is always someone with the gift of interpretation there also. They're able to understand what that person is saying in a tongue and able to interpret it to the church body. And that is for the edification of the church. Praying in tongues is a little bit different. That is what when you're filled with the Spirit and you're praying to God and you just start praying in a language that you don't know. That is for the edification of the inner man, for the edification of the soul. It doesn't need interpretation because it's just between you and God. It's for the edification of your soul. That's praying in tongues. And it's very common that when you're filled with the Spirit, you start to speak or to pray in tongues that you don't know. And it's real. I've experienced it. It's amazing. But that's not the only evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Persuasive speech. You see that in Acts 4:8. Evangelistic boldness. We see in Acts 4:31. Visions, words of prophecy. We see in Acts 19. Healing. We see in Acts chapter 9. Praising God, we see in Acts chapter 10. You can write down all these references if you like. I'm doing a little Bible study yourself if you want, just to kind of reinforce these things in your mind. But these are evidences, and these aren't all of them, but these are some of them that we find in Scripture, evidences of what happens to you when you are filled with the Spirit. And I want to do a little, get this out of the way. I have a little illustration I want to do for you to kind of drive this home. It should take me a second to set this up here. Oh. This needs a towel. So check this out. Okay. I'm going to pray I don't spill or drop the glass because that would be very messy. This glass represents you, okay? And the water in this pitcher represents the Holy Spirit, okay? So here's what happens. When you are saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. He's inside of you. He's not going anywhere. He's your comforter. He's your guide, all those things that we talked about. And some people, when they're saved, you know, have just a little bit of the Spirit, and some are filled almost to the brim just because they're so excited and you know, they're so excited about this new life that they have. Some people, when they're saved, just have a little bit of the Spirit because they're very rough around the edges and God needs to really iron out some things, you know. So when you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. He's not going anywhere. Now, when you ask, here's the other thing. Before I do that, the other thing is, when the Holy Spirit enters you, when you are saved, that's a one-time event. Okay? That's a one-time thing. When you are filled with the Spirit, that can happen multiple times. As many times as you want to ask for it, God will do that for you. He will fill you with His Spirit if you will ask Him for that. It's not just a one-time event. So here's what's going on. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you ask to be filled with the Spirit to overflowing, and here's what it looks like. That's splashing. You see what's going on there? And this bowl, that represents the world, the church, the people around you, your environment, and the Holy Spirit is just flowing out of you and blessing the people around you, and they can see a difference. Imagine if I had four glasses here on this stage, and three of them were filled halfway, and one wasn't filled at all, maybe because that's an unsaved person, and then this person is just overflowing. You would say, what's different about that glass? What's different about that guy? or that gal, what is different about them compared to everybody else? They're overflowing with the Spirit. The first time this happens to a person is called baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it is just an amazing experience because you've never experienced anything like it before. It's called baptism in the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, beyond that, you know, other, future times, that's like a refill, you know. You ever been to McDonald's? I don't think this is sacrilegious. You've been to McDonald's? You know, and you eat your food and you take your glass and then you go fill it up again and get some more. Free refills. That's what God does for you. You have free refills. So, now, here's the other thing I want to stress. Okay, if you have sin in your life, unconfessed sin in your life, it's like putting a cork on the cup. It's like putting a cork on the bottle. You know, the Holy Spirit's not going to be able to fill you up anymore because you have a block between you and God. There's a wall in your relationship with God. So the first thing, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, is to make sure you have no unconfessed sin in your life. Just get it all out of the way. Just get it all taken care of. Confess it all. Repent. Turn around. Go the other direction. And then he'll be free to pour himself into you. And, you know, the reason that we need refills is because, you know, as you live your life by the Spirit, as I'm up here preaching, you know, I'm using the Holy Spirit, you know? So it's slowly being drained into you guys, drained into the world around me. So I need a refill. So as you live your life, that's why this isn't just a one-time experience, because as you live your life, you're going to need to be refilled again. I really believe that people that get burned out in their ministry or burned out in their Christian life, in their daily life, they feel overwhelmed, overloaded. It's because they're not living by the Spirit. They're living by their own strength. They're living on their own terms. They haven't surrendered everything to God and asked Him to completely fill them with His Spirit. And if you're willing to do that, then he'll fill you again to overflowing. That's what God wants to do for us. And I want to give you guys an opportunity today to have that happen for you, whether you've been filled with the Spirit before, or whether you never have, this is a new concept to you, but it sounds really cool and you want to be a part of it, or whether you've been filled with the Spirit before and you just need a refill, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and play. Yeah, come on up, guys, and we're going to play a few songs. I'm going to have our prayer teams up front. Dick and Lynn, if you'd come up, and Jonathan, if you'd come up. I think Evelyn's counting money, right? And I'll be up here too. Yeah, let's get rid of that. And I would love for everybody in this room to participate in this today, but I'm not going to, you know, force anything on anybody. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to be first in line right here because I need a refill. So I just really encourage you guys to, as we sing and as we pray here, just come forward if you feel like you want to be filled with the Spirit, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, if this is your first time with that experience, or if you need a refill, be filled with the Spirit. We're going to have prayer teams up here. Come on up and do that today if you like. Band members, you know, if you guys want to participate in this too, or just kind of come up one at a time. Don't all come up at once because then we won't have any music. But, you know, one at a time, if you feel led to, feel free to come up and be filled with this too. And we're just going to take a few minutes and see what God does here among us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now we just invite you to fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and we just ask that you would bless each one of us this morning and do your work among us today. Knock down those hard hearts, break through those barriers in the minds of the people, who help them to understand through your Spirit exactly what this is about and why they need this in their lives. They need more of you in their lives. Fill us to overflowing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let your Spirit come. Let your Spirit come.
Thank you. Thank you. run into your arms, Lord. Would you fill us with your spirit? Run wild here, Lord. Have your way in us, Spirit. Spirit of the living God. Jesus, your own is high. just know if there be any way within me that is not of you, God. Won't you lift it from me? Fill me with your spirit,
praying up here. For anybody who needs to come forward that hasn't yet, but I want to dismiss you with a benediction from Hebrews 13. It says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. He does that by his Holy Spirit. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, church family. You are dismissed.
Never failed.